Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Glad that you're hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. The Cubs have scheduled a press conference, of which we will carry, of Theo Epstein. And I believe Tom Ricketts is, and probably Jed Hoyer, are going to be there for the news of the day, which is that Theo Epstein is stepping down as the president of baseball operations for the Cubs. Jed Hoyer will become the president of baseball operations for the Cubs. So as soon as that press conference gets underway, we're going to take you to it, and bear with us because it is a Zoom call. So the audio might be a little funky, but the Cubs have gotten a lot better since we've been in the middle of the pandemic of holding these type of Zoom press conferences. So as soon as it happens, we are going to take you to it. The Athletic got the letter that Theo sent to people inside the Cubs organization, and they printed it. I wanted to share a little bit of it. It's long and it's involved. You should go check it out. And it's free right now. The Athletic is got it from behind their paywall, so you can read the whole thing. But here's what, let's take you to the press conference itself. This is the Cubs, Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer, and Tom Ricketts.
Joined the club in November 2011 as executive vice president and general manager, who will be named president of baseball operations. We're pleased to be joined by Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts, as well as Theo Epstein. And we'll begin with a statement from Theo, followed by a statement from Tom, and then we can open it up to questions. So Theo, take it away.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I thought I'd start just with some background for the decision, and then I have some people I'd like to take the opportunity to thank. And then after Tom speaks, I'll be happy to answer all your questions. First, regarding the decision, I think many of you are aware that I'd always planned to be with the Cubs for about 10 years. Because of that, Tom and I had been in communication for the last several years about a possible transition and trying to figure out a way to execute a transition that would be best for the Cubs, put the organization in the best possible position, and also be good for me. And the communication was something I really appreciate. It was so well done. Tom, looking out for me and my interests, and I was trying always to focus on the best interests of the Cubs, and it couldn't have been more amicable. And I really appreciate the way that was handled. So we'd been communicating and using October 2021 really as a placeholder for when we would likely execute a transition. And then, this summer, it became apparent to me for a number of reasons that we should strongly consider moving up the date of the transition by a year. First of all, it became really clear that we'd be facing some significant long-term decisions this winter, decisions with long-term impacts. And, those types of decisions are really best made by somebody who's going to be here for a long time, not just for one more year, and somebody who's invested in the organization for the long haul. and you know, Jed clearly is that person, and I'll get into to talking about Jed in a second. Second, you know, this summer it became clear the extent to which COVID was going to stress our business and our people, and it's affected every business in the sports world and really across the country generally. But due to those stresses, we were going to be facing a challenge of having to allocate some temporarily reduced resources in a way that would allow us to move forward and be successful. And had I decided to come back in 2021, that would have made that challenge even more difficult. Last, you know, Jed is ready to take over. He really is. He's been a huge part of all our success here. He's been a huge part of my success and my career. Jed has done the job of being a number one in baseball operations before. He had two successful years in that capacity with the San Diego Padres. He ensures great continuity. All of the terrific people in our front office and throughout the organization are going to stay in place because Jed is taking over. And you know, even as Jed represents continuity and preserves our areas of strength, I think he is also realistic about the areas where we have to change and where we have to do better. And he's always been realistic about that and always open to changes. For example, he was instrumental in the restructuring and reimagining of our scouting and player development departments a couple years ago. And you know, in short, you know, Jed is his own man. You know, he's been a loyal and outstanding right-hand man, but he has his own opinions, his own perspective, his own leadership style. He really truly does not need me over his shoulder this next year while we finish off a transition that in a lot of respects has been years in the making. So he's going to do an outstanding job. He deserves this opportunity, and the Cubs are lucky to have him. I am so incredibly grateful for the last 9 years. It's been really a life-changing experience for me and for my family. The best part, of course, has been the relationships and the connections with people that I've been lucky enough to make along the way. And so because of that, I know I didn't just win an Oscar or anything, never will, but I do have some people I'd like to thank, starting with Tom and the Ricketts family. Thank you for the opportunity, for the loyalty, for the support. I was thinking about this earlier, but you truly have done everything that you set out to do, everything that you promised me, you lived up to, and everything that you promised the fans too. If you look at how your first 10 years owning the club has gone. And as somebody who is very likely to become a season ticket holder of the Cubs going forward, I'm really, really pleased that you and your family are going to be owning this franchise for generations to come. To my colleagues, thank you for all the hard work, the dedication, the loyalty, the friendship over the years. 9 years ago, we set a couple of goals. The first was to build a foundation for sustained success that would allow us to get into the playoffs on a regular basis. And the second was over time and together to build a team that could win a world championship for the Cubs. And it has not been perfect. It's baseball. So by definition, it's never going to be perfect. But we've accomplished those goals together. And you should be extremely proud of everything that you've contributed to this organization and where it is today and everything that you've helped build. A special thank you from that group to Jed, to Jason McLeod, to Matt Dorey, and to others who left great jobs in baseball to follow me here. Thank you for that special trust you placed in me. And I'm so glad that things have gone so well for you here and that you ultimately triumphed. Your trust means the world to me. Thank you. Next to our players and everyone in uniform, Rossi, Joe, all the coaches, thank you for your leadership and your hard work, both on the field and behind the scenes. and for everything you guys have done to transform this franchise. You guys have been the ones in the arena, so to speak, putting in the blood, sweat, and tears. You all should be extremely proud of the legacy that you're leaving, or the legacy that you'll have here at the Cubs. To our fans, thank you for the support, the deep connection, everything you bring to the table that makes the Cubs experience so special, so resonant. It really is different here, and that's thanks to you guys. Been thinking, you know, obviously through a lot of memories over the last couple of days, and with respect to the fans, the one I keep coming back to is, you know, right as we started to turn the corner in the rebuild, walking home from a game, I always walk home from the games, and walking away from Wrigley with this crowd of fans, we just had a really great game, and I could eavesdrop on the conversations and overhear what they're saying, and the fans were just so excited about our young players, so optimistic about the future, couldn't wait for what lay ahead. And it was such a special time, such an expectant time. And it felt like the lines between fans and front office members and players were blurred, because we were all part of this club that was in on a secret. I think we all kind of knew what was about to happen, maybe before the rest of the baseball world did. And then fast forward to, you know, seeing you guys celebrate the World Series championship at the parade with generations of your family, you know, seeing the pennants and the hats draped over gravestones for those who didn't quite live to see it, just incredibly moving and memorable, and underscores to me how special you guys are and how much you mean to this Cubs experience. So thank you for everything that you bring to this franchise and have meant to me over the years. Most importantly, to my family, my wife Marie, and my boys Jack and Drew, thank you for the love, support, the guidance, and the inspiration over the years, and also for the understanding and the sacrifices that you guys make to allow me to work the hours and live the lifestyle that's necessary to succeed in this job. We still look forward to going to games at Wrigley all together as a family, and we'll be fans now. And as I've said to a few people over the last couple of days, you know, when we do sit in the seats at Wrigley and look out and watch the Cubs play and sit amongst the fans here in Chicago, it will feel like home. And that's because of how special and meaningful the last 9 years have been. So thanks for everything. I'll turn it over to Tom, and then I'll be happy to take all your questions once he's done. Thank you.
You're listening to Theo Epstein's farewell press conference on The Score.
Thanks, Theo. Well, a little over 9 years ago, we went looking for a new person to lead our baseball department. And we knew it would be a tall order. Not only do we need someone who could bring in some good players and win some big games and maybe win a division, but we really needed someone who could change the culture and change the direction the organization had been going for a long, long time. We were known as the lovable losers. And everyone on the call or the Zoom here knows that we had a curse. So we knew it would be a tough job, and we were very fortunate that Theo was available for us at the time. Theo came in 9 years ago. He hit the ground running, put together a brilliant staff, and early on promised us sustained success. And to a Cubs fan, that was a foreign concept. But then after a few years of hard work and rebuilding the organization, he delivered sustained success. Not only did we have the 2016 World Series, which of course was the most remarkable and memorable World Series of all time, we had great playoff runs in years around that. And we sustained that success to go to the playoffs five of the last 6 years and be considered a contender every year. So after 9 years of great work, Theo is leaving, but he's not leaving an organization in the lurch. We've been talking about this for a while. The organization is in great shape, and we look forward to the ongoing success of the Cubs. And I just want to, on behalf of myself, the fans, the family, Want to thank him for 9 incredible years, for delivering on the promise of a World Series, for creating that sustained success, for destroying the lovable loser moniker. And really, I think the legacy that Theo leaves behind is an organization that expects to win, not an organization that is surprised to win. And, and on a personal level, it's a sad day for me personally. Theo and I have become very good friends over the years. We have an incredible professional relationship, but I considered him all these years to be a great partner and truly a good friend. And it's been an incredible journey for me as an individual, as well as the journey for the team on the field. But that said, while I'm kind of losing a great friend and a great partner, I'm very, very excited about the transition and the continuity that we have in front of us. All of you on this call know Jed. Jed has been with your organization since a couple of days after Theo came in, and he's going to be an incredible leader for this organization, just as Theo was. Most of you in the baseball world know that every single GM opening in baseball, I think Jed has had a chance at. He's had lots of calls, lots of offers over the years, but he's always been loyal to the Cubs and stayed with us and helped us continue to win. So while we're losing one of the best leaders in all of baseball, I feel like we're also gaining one of the best leaders in all of baseball. So, it's a bittersweet day. I just know that this is the right thing for the organization. I appreciate the honesty and the direct way that Theo has worked with me on this, and we've worked together on this. I have no doubt that the organization is in the best place it could be and positioned for future ongoing sustained success. And with that, I'll turn it back over to people that want to ask questions.
Great. Thank you, Theo and Tom. We can start out with questions now.
Theo, it's Bruce Levine, first of all. It was a fantastic run, and personally, I appreciate the professionalism you brought to the job every day. As far as your future goes, would you say that if teams came after you now, you would not consider offers, or will you listen, knowing that you've already said to some of your friends that you probably need to take some time off?
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that. And let me take this opportunity just to thank all of you in the media for the working relationship of the last 9 years, the professionalism as well as the trust. I really have enjoyed the back and forth and reading your coverage of this journey over the years. Thank you for adding to the experience and especially doing so for the fans, who I know appreciate everything that you guys do. So thanks, and look forward to staying in touch with you guys. As far as my future plans and other teams, I mean, I kind of come from the school of never ruling anything out, but having some firm ideas in my mind of what I think is best for me and best for my family. I do hope and expect to have a third chapter in baseball, but in no shape or form do I expect to do it right away. I envision, taking some time to pursue other pursuits, to spend with my family, and to do some things that have just been impossible when you're going to a ballpark every single day, every summer for the last 29 years. I do hope to stay engaged in the game. I this game is my passion. I care deeply about it. And so I'm going to seek out ways to serve the game in the near future. And I've already, started to pursue a few possible avenues to do that. But I mean, I expect my phone will probably be ringing, and I always answer and look forward to, hearing what people have to say, since I'm open-minded about my future. But those are my plans. I don't expect to jump right back in with another team now. And I'm really looking forward to the freedom to explore lots of different things.
Theo, again, thank you for everything you've done for us in the media. What is the one thing when you look at not the wins, not the World Series, but what is something intangible that you didn't know you would enjoy so much being in charge of the Cubs?
Yeah. I think the thing that stands out to me that's special about the Cubs is the depth of the connection with the fans and how intimate that connection is and how easily shared it is. The Cubs are an important part of what connects families in this city and groups of friends, and is part of the rhythm of the spring, summer, and fall. And it's an important part. The Cubs experience is such an important part of the texture of the city as well. And, you know, I kind of could sense that from afar, but getting to be immersed in it, you realize how different and how special it is. And then the ability to share that. Again, I talked earlier about the lines being blurred here between, you know, those who work for the team, those who play for the team, those who love the team and sit in the stands. And I really feel like this journey has been something we've taken on together. That's how it's felt. And, you know, Boston, maybe my perspective in Boston was different because I grew up a Red Sox fan. So I already felt that way and it was already part of who I was. But getting dropped into this situation 9 years ago, feeling like a stranger, not being, you know, the Chicago, the Cubs fans all being foreign to me. And now I look 9 years later and I feel like it's in my blood too. And I don't think that would have been possible elsewhere. It's the closeness of the connection with the fans as you go through the Cubs experience that stands out the most to me, along with, you know, behind the scenes, the closeness of our organization and the relationships. It's been, you know, the hardest part is moving on from, you know, the immediate proximity to a lot of people I work with because the relationships are so special and they'll last a lifetime. But when you cherish certain relationships and you cherish certain experiences, moving on from those can be really difficult. But it just means it's been incredibly meaningful.
You're listening to Theo Epstein's final press conference here on The Score.
I know we can't really get into specifics on this, but could you give us a sense of whether all or a portion of that final year on Theo's contract is being recouped and how that might be redirected within the organization, especially, you know, in the wake of these layoffs and some payroll cutting that we already have a pretty good ideas coming. And then Theo, was that part of the thinking toward what the Cubs could get out of this, kind of recouping a little bit of that and kind of helping through these times?
Yeah, I can take a first crack at that. I mean, I'm not going to be here in 2021, so I won't be paid in 2021, which is appropriate. And the right thing. You know, look, that was a small part of the equation. I think as, you know, the world changed this summer for everybody. And as we sat and sort of sorted through what that meant for our short-term challenges, because the Cubs in the long run are in great shape with tremendous resources and, you know, a thriving baseball operation. As Tom said, we're going to be competitive every year. But of course, with the world changing, it creates some short-term challenges. And, you know, a small part of the equation as I looked at it is that, you know, some of the math is a little bit easier, is a little bit better position for the Cubs with me not being here. But, you know, the primary driver is just, look, we're in a period of transition. There are a lot of important decisions to be made that will have long-term consequences. Jed is ready, willing, and able to make those decisions along with our talented front office. And that made the timing right. So it was part of it, but not a primary driver.
You know,
from
my standpoint, I would just say the money had nothing to do with it.
But will it help you reallocate and help some of that process along?
I mean, ultimately, those resources stay in the organization. So in that respect, yes, but it really had nothing to do with what you're seeing today.
And just to be clear, since you asked the question, Tom has never brought up money one time, nor has he ever asked me to step down or anything close to that. It has not been a primary part of the conversation at all.
Theo, what was this summer you said you kind of came to the realization that maybe it was time to do this earlier. You know, was it a sense of burnout? I mean, this is a stressful season for everyone. Was there something where you felt like maybe you're, because it feels like you could be useful this year with this transition, obviously, even if you step back a little bit. So what kind of pushed you to make this decision?
Yeah, no sense of burnout whatsoever. I am self-aware enough to know that just based on my personality and the way I operate, forcing myself to change every so often is important. I referenced the Bill Walsh kind of loose 10-year rule, and that's always resonated with me, and maybe it's even particularly applicable to me. I mean, if you look at my track record in Boston and then here in the first 6 years or so, we did some pretty epic things, and then the last couple of years weren't as impressive, and maybe what that tells me is I think I'm great at and really enjoy building and transformation and triumphing. Maybe I'm not as good and not as motivated by maintenance, so to speak. And as soon as you get to the point where it can start to feel that way to you, then I think you owe it to yourself and, as importantly, if not more importantly, to your employer to be open about that and seek to pursue change that's in the best interest of the organization and the individual. So not burnout, but I think, I'm just somewhat self-aware, not in a lot of areas, but in some areas I am. And I'm self-aware enough in this area to know that, after a while I need a new challenge. And I think the Cubs, with everything that we're facing and a natural transformation happening anyway with the player group and coming through COVID and Jed being ready, it was the right time. And yeah, maybe I could have been useful in 2021, but Jed and I have been working on this transition, as I mentioned earlier, for a long time, and he is ready. He's at the point where he does not need me over his shoulder.
Theo, what do you see that third chapter in baseball being for you? Is it a similar role? Is it ownership? Just how do you see that transpiring?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, being part of an ownership group is something that has always appealed to me, but it's just it can seem so unattainable that, I haven't been really realistic about it yet. I have seen how impactful a team, especially a championship team, can be in a community. And I've seen firsthand with Tom and the Ricketts family and John and Tom and the ownership in Boston, how baseball team owners can be transformed into forces for civic good and help a lot of people and be involved in a lot of the important conversations and in the city and be a solution for a lot of issues in cities. So that does appeal to me. A lot of things would have to go right for that to happen. Usually for that type of thing to happen, you need access to a lot of capital. You need to be, you need to have pretty good proximity to those types of transactions. You need to be able to, single-handedly transform a baseball organization. And, who knows? Maybe I have plans for some of those things down the line, but a lot would have to go right for that to happen. But that would be a great role. But short term, I really want to try to help the game as best I can. This is the best game in the world by far, in my opinion. But, we do face some very real challenges. There are some storm clouds on the horizon, and we have to find a way to navigate through that. As an industry, I'm happiest when baseball is sort of drives the sports conversation in this country and is you know, atop the perch as the true national pastime, hands down, no questions asked. And just there are a lot of threats to that with everything going on in the world and industry issues that we face over the next year or so. So I'd love, you know, now that I'm not with the team and I'm outside, maybe there's some way I could help or be of assistance. So I'm going to stay in the game one form or another, short term and long term. I'm confident of that.
That is Theo Epstein at his press conference with the Cubs. We need to take a timeout. I'd like to react to some of the things that were said. If you would like to, you're more than welcome to. 312-644-6767 is the number if you want to call or text. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score. Just gave you 30 minutes of Theo Epstein's press conference. Him walking away from the Cubs, stepping down. Jed Hoyer will succeed him as the president of baseball operations. It's interesting because, especially towards the end, in asking, well, hey, what might you want to do? And is ownership one of the things that you would be interested in? I'm looking at your reaction via text, like, Theo for commissioner. Yes, I would love if Theo Epstein was the commissioner of baseball. But only if he can do it the way that the racist Kennesaw Mountain Landis was the commissioner of baseball. If he can do it without having the restrictions of ownership. Because that job really doesn't have a lot of power. It has a lot of heartache unless you're able to step outside of the power structure that's already in place. If ownership around the league was going to allow Theo to do what he deemed necessary to run baseball, then I am here for it. I am here for it 100% of him being the commissioner of the game. But if he's going to have to still just navigate what Bud Selig had to do, and what Rob Manfred is doing now, it's a waste of his talent. As a fan of the game, trust me, I am all in on that idea. Because I feel like he would have the game's best interest at heart, and he comes into the job. It's the same thing with Kim Ng, where she might be overqualified to be a general manager at this point. She's another person that you would want to be commissioner, but only if they get to do it their way. What baseball doesn't need is another puppet in that spot that's only going to do the bidding of the owners instead of trying to make baseball itself a better game. You're right to think that he would be an incredible candidate for the job. But remember what the job is. For the most part, that job is carrying the owner's water. And why would he want to do that? When, even though he made it seem like ownership is an impossibility, he knows enough smart and rich people that if there was an ownership group that he could be a part of, I think people would want to join him. I think that he could, I mean, hell, Theo could probably, knowing that guy and some of the people that he knows, could probably figure out a way to raise some funds for ownership over the next couple of years. But maybe. It's not a bad thought. It's not a bad thought at all for him to be the guy that's in charge and be commissioner. It's just, you can't do anything in that role of any real meaning. And you're mostly there to be a punching bag. Could he do, unless he's being given some of the power that like Adam Silver is given, I could absolutely see Theo running MLB the way Adam Silver runs NBA. But even think about it, even Roger Goodell, that's the guy who makes the most money at being commissioner. He's making $40 million a year to be a shield for the Shield. When's the last time you heard from Roger, by the way? That's just an aside. With everything that's going on in his league, when's the last time you heard from him? If your reasoning for that is because you think that Theo would be a good steward of the game, you are 100% right in feeling that way. You are justified in your feeling that that guy has what's best for baseball in mind for baseball. But I don't think that that group of owners would allow him to do what's necessary, even if it probably would end up making them more money. Letting Theo do his thing as commissioner would probably make them more money. But I will say that if you want to look at the silver model, like he's got all the things, like all the bona fides like going in like silver, and he has that connection with the players. But I just think that it's a job. Let's put it this way. It's a job that has limits for a guy whose talent is limitless. If that's the case, he could run the baseball operations for a team and probably be happier than having to do the bidding. Instead of finessing one owner to doing it the way that you're supposed to, he'd have to then finesse 30 to try to get them on board. And as you can see, there's already like Reinsdorf doesn't like Cohen, for example. He's trying to get A-Rod to be the owner of the Mets. There's already stuff there. So no, I don't think that would be the best use of his talents unless they allowed him to do it his way. I'm going to jump back on the Bears before I say hello to Parkins and Big Ant next here on The Score. It's been a busy day with the news of Theo Epstein stepping down as Cubs president. Jed Hoyer will take over for him as the president of baseball operations. A lot of people were texting the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin, and saying, man, it really takes the heat off the Bears. Guess what? No, it doesn't. The Bears are on a bye, which means that, I'm sorry, an off week. Oh, I gotta get that right. They don't play for almost 2 weeks. There's gonna be plenty of time for us to talk about that debacle last night. And quite honestly, I appreciate Theo and the Cubs giving us all a little bit of sports sorbet today. An opportunity to talk about something other than that debacle that we saw last night on the lakefront. Don't worry. Us talking about the 6 points that the Bears offense put up, another third quarter where the Bears offense doesn't score, them only averaging 4 yards per pass attempt, and now not having a run longer than 11 yards, and that 11-yard run was by Barkevious Mingo 2 weeks ago. Don't worry. All of those things are up for discussion. Us talking about Ryan Pace and why should he be allowed to pick another quarterback. Whether or not Matt Nagy is the right guy to lead this team into the future. Don't worry. There's time. There's time for us to talk about Nick Foles and him hurting his glutes yesterday. And you getting the opportunity to see Tyler Bray quarterback. Don't worry. There's plenty of time for us to discuss whether or not Mitch should start if he's healthy in 2 weeks. All of that's going to be available for you, and we got you covered all week long on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.